His peace will bring blessing and will bring fruit. And many times we get impatient in that process that God is bringing peace, but we say, where's the peace? God, you're here, but I don't sense the peace. And there's many times a process of what God is doing in our life that we don't see the process. But there's something that He's doing. Jesus was born for this very reason. His birth has affected our lives then and now and for all of eternity. It says in Galatians 4:5, Jesus was born to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Treating us as family. There's no father that wants the worst for his child. A good father, a godly father, our Father God, He wants the best. He desires the best for you. And even though we're facing chaotic situations today, we're facing challenges, we're facing unrest, God wants to bring peace into your situation. So why don't we have peace? God came to bring peace. He brings peace on earth. There's no peace in the earth. There's nothing that we can find or do today, not enough money to be spent to buy peace in earth. But God said that He will bring peace on earth, but it's only through Him. It is only by Him. What hinders us from receiving God's peace? We all allow things to get to us. We allow things to get to us personally. Peace doesn't come by the hand of man. If we're looking for the peace by the hand of man, what this man does or what that man doesn't do, from the higher-ups to the leaders around the world, if our peace is counting on someone doing something, then we're looking in the wrong place. If our peace is based upon what we possess, what we acquire in life, we get to a certain level of life, we do this, we accomplish that. Well, if I can only do this, and then I'd have great peace. If we're looking for our peace in possessions, we'll not find it. If we're looking for our peace in, I wish this would happen, I wish that were happen, I wish this situation would change. If this situation would change to the way that I want it to, my peace, I would have peace. Our peace is not found in any of these things. Our peace on earth is found through Jesus Christ. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace, notice that's capital M, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, even when we face trouble, even when we face challenges. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because He is our peace. He brings peace. It does not compare to what the world gives us peace. The world wants to give you possessions. The world wants you to go to Amazon.com and buy all you want to buy, and that'll bring you peace. No, none of that will bring us peace. Nothing that the world has to offer will bring us peace, but we don't have to worry or be afraid or be to also seek God's peace. That's it. Don't make yourself vulnerable to everybody. Oh my goodness. But two walls can come in two forms, you'll see. And I'll read about these in James chapter 3. These are very important. Walls can be in the form of envy and selfishness. Envy and selfishness. James warns about that. He says in James 3:14-16, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. It should be real easy to pinpoint what I just read. I was curious. I looked up the word envy, the definition to the word envy. It's a feeling of discontented or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or, I'm reading the word out of the dictionary, look. Selfishness, in the same dictionary, is defined as this. seeking or concentrating on one's own advantage, pleasure, or well-being without regard for others. So these are two walls that we build up. James calls out that we see in this world today. And he's explained it in a way that we can easily identify it. These will destroy the presence of God's presence and of God's peace. It'll destroy it. Why? Because it's me taking the place of God's peace. It's putting me at the forefront. That's what James warns about here. So removing the walls allows God's peace to be received. That was the first wall. The second one is get close to Jesus. Get close to Jesus. Well, Mike, I pray every day, and I try to read my Bible every day. Did you know that the first place a child runs to when they're hurt, when they're sick, when they're tired, even the first place a child will run when they're in trouble, young child, we have four grandchildren, the first place they'll run to is loving arms. They want to be close to loving arms, secure arms, loving arms. That's the way we're to be with Jesus. No matter what state of life that we're in, whether we're hurt, whether we're frustrated, whether we've been disappointed, whether we're in trouble, the loving arms of Jesus Christ is where we need to be. That is the only place we can find peace. And it's in those situations that many times we go elsewhere, go outside of that, And we abuse things in life that may be meant for good, but we've turned it out to be a bad thing. How many know that every blessing of God, Satan has a counterfeit for it, and will use the negative side of that to take you away from God? So Satan will call something the same thing that God calls it. So God calls love, love, which is pure, and Satan calls love, love. We know that his form of love is different than God's form of love. He uses the same word so that he'll get your attention. Oh, that's love. So we have to be careful. We run to God for his peace, for his loving arms, no matter what state we find ourselves in. From sickness to trouble to disappointment to frustration to tiredness, all these things, we get close to Jesus. What better arms to be in than Jesus Christ? Now, I understand there are times when you need a physical arm. And I guarantee you when you step in that door, you'll get a physical arm. You'll get some loving on. I guarantee you. And thank God for that, that we're known as a loving church. And I wouldn't change that for anything in the world. You can step in here and feel the love of Christ. And that's important. But in the middle of the night, when you need reassurance of who you are, when you need encouragement, open your word and say, God, show me your love, and he'll speak to you. There's every single word in this Bible is to bring about peace. Yeah, there's some correction here, but it's done in love and truth to help us to understand God's love and his peace. Everything in this word is to draw you closer to him, not to push you away. Even the instruction is to pull you closer to him. So we need to get close to Jesus and make that our lifestyle. There's peace. And there's comfort in closeness. Wow. Must have been a good point. Ephesians 2, verses 12 to 14 says, remember that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in other words, now that we're in Christ, now we're in Christ, and you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. See how important that is? You're far off with no hope, without God, but now you're close to Christ. You once were far off and been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. In verse 14, for he himself is our what? Peace. You see that? For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. He takes it down. You say, well, God, if you really knew what I did and how bad I was, you wouldn't. Oh, he knows. He knows just how rotten the people that aren't here today are. We'll talk about them. He knows just how rotten we are, doesn't he? He knows what we've done, and he still wants to take down that wall of separation and love us, for us to embrace him, to come close to him, in spite of our own mistakes and sin. Walls have to be taken down, and we are then brought closer to God. And then we see that he is our peace. He owns peace. He made peace. He is the manufacturer of peace. Peace should be trademarked by Jesus. Thirdly, to live in God's peace, become the righteousness of God. And that's a phrase that you don't hear very often, isn't it? Become the righteousness of God. Because how can we become the righteousness of God? We're so different from God. Well, he said he made us after his image. But yet we're told to become the righteousness of God. That is, as we draw closer to him, the more like him we become. That as we get closer to him, as we draw closer to him, he will take those things that take us away from God. Even though we're not going to go a day probably without a mistake. There'll probably be most days that maybe we'll make a mistake. And so on those days, even in those days, we can still become the righteousness of God because he's taken our sin from us and replaced that with his spirit of righteousness. You say, well, I don't understand it, nor do I deserve the righteousness of God. No, we don't. We don't deserve it. But because of him, he made us to where we are deserving of everything that he has. Why? Because we become children of God. That's like me going out and adopting a child, and that child then is one of our family. That child gets to become everything in our family because they're family. Well, they weren't blood born into our family, no, but I've adopted them. We've adopted that child, and now they become just as our blood children have, the same benefits. Well, they're not perfect. They don't look like you. His hair isn't like yours. Well, he's got hair. And so even in spite of those things where there's differences, he's still my child, she's still my child, and because of what we have, we give to them. That's the same way it is. That's a very small comparison to how God looks at us. But we're adopted as the children of God, and everything that he has, which is his righteousness, which is his perfection, everything that he is and everything that he has, he pours then into you, and he takes away all the negative and all the bad things out of you. See, that's what Christ's love does. He said his love looks beyond our faults. So, well, I can see him real clear. Well, thank God that you're not God. He looks beyond our faults. He looks beyond that and sees us as a child of God. It's not that he's ignorant to the mistakes that we made, so don't, there's accountability there. There's a walk with God that I believe that the Bible says the more it's given, the more is required. And so as God gives us blessings, we're to give the blessings back to him. So there's an area of growth there. So we, little Maddox, he's a year and a half, he'll be 2 years old in February, and so as he gets older, there's going to be more responsibility that he'll take on. Little Zelda, we were in North Carolina last Saturday morning for her birthday. She turned 6 years old, and so she's in gifted classes. She has grown at 6 years old. She does things now at six that she didn't do when she was one. So that's where we are in Christ. As God blesses us, as he pours his life into us, as we grow in him, there's more of a reflection that we have in him, and he gives us the mercy and the grace to grow. Aren't you glad? Sometimes we're hard on ourselves. I talked to somebody the other day, and they said, well, if you just knew how angry I've been the last few days and some things that I've said the last few days, I'm so sorry for the things I've said. God's got to be mad at me. I said, no, he's not. He loves you. And he knows, even on those days when you're hard on yourself, he's there giving you love and mercy, pouring out his grace to you and drawing you closer to him, even while that's going on. Wow. So we become his righteousness. We become his righteousness. The Bible says that Jesus is reconciled, is reconciling us to him. Now you understand in the financial world, to reconcile, you take debits and credits, pluses and minuses, bring them together for a zero balance. There's nothing owed, there's nothing due. And so Jesus reconciles us to him. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or not holding their trespasses to them, not holding their past sins against them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Verse 20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Now here it is in verse 21. This is what I want you to see. "For he made him who knew no sin," God made Jesus who knew no sin, never sinned, "who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we," speaking of all of us, "that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Can you say wow? That's what he's done. He's reconciled us to him, meaning that we can never repay the debt back to Christ for what he's done for us. There's no balance due. He has given us his image in trade. He took our sin. That's what it says. We become the righteousness of God. We've got to allow that transformation to happen. We buck it because we don't think we're deserving. We think the low is me. Woe is me. I'm dirt. I'm a bug. Don't deserve. That's not the way God sees. We need to start not in an arrogant way, but in glorifying God. We need to start seeing ourselves as God sees us, knowing that we're a child of God. And in that, we can do nothing or be nothing without God's blessing, without his peace. Amen? It's not of us. We pray that every Sunday morning. God, it's not anything I have. It's not in an arrogant spirit whatsoever what I have that I give. But Lord, it's what you do in and through us, that anything that's good accomplished, it's in him. Period. If there's anything you get out of this word today, it comes from God. It comes out of his word. It doesn't come from Mike. It's all because of the word of God. It's the principle. It's the truth of the word of God that brings life and brings peace, is what I'm talking about today. So Jesus causes us to be worthy of his righteousness. His plan is to give us his righteousness and to take our sin. And he continually does that. Number four, to live in God's peace, we need to reconcile our offenses. Reconcile our offenses. Has anybody, you don't have to raise your hands, has anybody ever been offended? Yeah. All the hands who are down represents an offense. We've all been offended. The Bible talks about us reconciling our offenses. What that means is that we're able to come to a place, even when we're offended, we will be offended, we may be offended in the days to come, when we're offended, that we do not allow those things in our life to control our life, to manipulate our life, and to dictate that we do not have peace. We can have peace in God even when we're offended. We have to reconcile those offenses. And to put it like this, there are some people not in church today because they've been offended. Offended by good people. Offended by good people. Well, if I could just have them pay for what they did, I'd be fine. Well, that's not reconciling the offense. That's getting back. Right? "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. In other words, we're not to supply the vengeance. God will do that in his timing. Well, why don't he hurry up and do it when I can see it and then I'll be done? No, that's the wrong reason. Let God handle it. See, we're to do our part and let God do his part. Reconciling our offenses. Reconciling the offender is what sometimes we like to do. We pursue the offender trying to make things right. You've offended me, but let me make your right life, your life, what did I say? Make your life right and reconcile you to my offense. So let's talk about this and get things straight where the story doesn't change and then they offend you again. It's not our business to reconcile the offender. It's our business to reconcile the offense and let God take care of the offender. So we spend our life. We were actually watching a show the other night, and this person made it her business to get in everybody else's business to fix their problems. All the while, her problems were stacking up. It's not always our business to fix everybody else. The truth be known, if I spend a little more time on my stuff, okay, I won't go there. You get the picture. Acts 24:16 says, "This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense." This is huge. Without offense toward God and men. I strive to have a conscience without offense. That means that I daily walk. You know, there's probably been a time in our life that we expected an offense. You let them say that to me. I've got something I'm going to tell them. See, so I'm living in a state of defending myself, if you will, rather than in a place of, no matter what happens today, God, I'm going to be in a mode of forgiving. I'm going to let things roll off. And, of course, just as soon as you pray that, you better be ready. Buckle down. But we strive to a place to where we don't let the offenses in life control us. We don't walk in offense toward God or men. I wonder why he said that. We said that because there are many times in life that we face things and the first thing we say is, God, why did you do this to me? Anybody ever said that? God, why did you let this happen, God? And we spend then the next weeks or months or possibly years asking God why he let this happen. And maybe we don't say it, but we just feel it. Or a man offends us, and why did he offend me? I never did anything wrong to him. I never hurt him in any way. Matter of fact, I was always loving and trying to help him, but yet he hates me. He offends me over and over. Well, so in those times, the best thing for us to do is to get rid of it. Get rid of the offense. Just let it go. That doesn't mean call them up and chew them out. That's not reconciling the offense. The reconciling the offense is allowing that thing to disconnect from your heart and give it to God. Let God speak his peace. That's the only way that we can have the true unlimited peace of God. Is to disconnect from those offenses, not allowing them to control us or to get to us, because the fact of the matter is there will be any situation in your life that the devil sees that can be an offense to hold you back. He will bring it on, double it and triple it, just to try to get you to where your eyes are off of Christ and on the situation and then be controlled by that. That's not the plan of God. I myself strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Sometimes we feel justified. Well, if you knew what they did, I was talking to someone many years ago and said, just need to forgive and let this thing go. It's been going on way too long. But you don't understand if you, and they wanted to talk about it again. If you understood what they did to me, they did this, and man, I tried to get a word in the edge. I said, okay, stop. Let that go. Can we change it? No. Let God deal with it. Let it go. You're hurting yourself. You're not hurting them. that offense is not having any effect on them whatsoever. Matter of fact, they seem to be pretty happy. But you're dealing with this and you're not letting it go. Let it go. No balance due. Reconcile the offense. God can take it. God can handle it. And lastly, number 5, this is a big one. Create peace and receive peace. Well, Mike, I understand the receive peace. Yeah, I want to receive the peace, but create peace? Can we create peace? The Bible says we can. Sometime back, it's probably happened more than once. Had a rough day. I don't even remember exactly what day it was. All I remember about this day, it was a rough day. It was packed and a lot went on and dealing with a lot of things. And so I took this home. I got in the car and I was maybe doing 1 or 2 miles over the speed limit. Just get this out of my system. So I get home and I pull into the driveway on 2 wheels, dust, and walk in the house. And there's Crystal fixing supper and smile on her face. Cute little shorts and t-shirt. And I walk in the house and she said, "Hey, baby." I said, "Hey." I didn't realize it, but I was still carrying that stuff. And it went on. I was still brewing of the things that happened that day. And so my response was kind of short. "How are you?" "Good." Kind of sharp, got a little edge to it. And a while later, I was starting to, okay, I'm home, everything's good, the day's over. I start coming to my senses a little bit, and then notice Crystal, she's grumpy. What's wrong with Crystal? I said, "Honey, what's wrong?" She didn't answer me at first. I said, what's wrong? She said, "Well, I was in a good mood when you got home, and then you ruined that." And I thought, huh, maybe there's something to that. And so most days, I try to get that stuff out of my system before I get to the house. So when I walk in, she says, "Hey, baby." I say, "Hey, baby, come here." And it just gets better from there. Why? Because I create peace. We all have the ability to do that. We all have the ability to create peace. As a matter of fact, the peace that I receive from that, a lot of times is based on the peace that I create. And so we can understand that sometimes in situations and atmospheres around us, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's in a business meeting, a lot of times the peace that we portray is the peace that we receive out of it. Not all the time. I'm talking about manipulation. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about, according to the Word of God, how we can create an atmosphere of peace, being that God rules and reigns in our life, and it just exudes from us, even in tough situations, to where it changes the entire atmosphere. It changes the reaction of people. And you have to think about it. It has to be a conscious thing that we do, that we create peace. I mean, even Rocky knows when I'm not in the best moods. Rocky, you just kind of come up and he'll turn and run. Daddy's home, he's not good. Create peace. In what we say, how we act, our emotions. I thought this early this morning. I thought, you know, who controls my ability to smile and who controls my ability to frown? Really? I do. Not you, not what you say, not what you do, but whether I smile or whether I frown is really based on, I control my muscle features to a certain extent. Some things I can't change. But creating peace lays the foundation for living in peace. Creating peace lays the foundation to living in peace. Jesus lives in us. So his peace also lives in us. Romans 12:18 says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you." So there must be something we can do. "As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." It means we must create a level of peace. Not that we're going to change man, but as much as it depends on us, do our part. Again, let God do his part. Can't make somebody live in peace. You're going to live in peace whether you like it or not. That doesn't work. We're going to have fun whether it kills you or not. You know, that doesn't work. James 3, 17 and 18 says, but the wisdom that is from above, first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. Oh boy, look at this. By those who make peace. We have to live in that. What does that do? That opens up God's peace in our life. As best as we want to change everybody else's life and make everybody else live in peace, we want peace, we want everything good. We define peace on earth as everybody being at peace on earth. Don't get your eyes in the wrong place. It's never going to happen. But we can always find peace in God, peace in his life. You and I can live in peace. And those that apply this principle, Facebook Live, YouTube, whoever listens and breathes and lives this principle can live in peace 24/7. It's not based on circumstances. It's not based on the things going around. And it's certainly not based on people. It's based on the Word of God. It's based on our life in Jesus Christ. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. See, God's principles are always producing fruit and blessing. You may not experience it right this moment, but it really goes to the principle of what we sow will reap. Is really what it boils down to in a scripture that many times we read when we're receiving tithes and offerings, Luke 6:38. It's talking about money, yes, but it's more talking about our heart to God. And it says this in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Give and it will be given to you. So think of that, yes, in finances, but think of it more of as a heart toward God and as our attitude, like Elder Rolfe said. Our attitude, our heart toward God. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure. Oh, he didn't stop there. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's an abundance. An abundance of whatever you give. I'm sowing peace. You know what you're going to get? Peace. If we learn to give the very same thing that we need more of, that's the principle of God. You need love? Give love. Give love. You need finances? Give finances. You need time? Give time. I don't have time. Give it anyway. You can carve it out. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. Wow. The same measure we give, the same measure we receive. We create peace, we receive peace. Matthew 5:9. Blessed, Greek definition of that word is happy. Blessed, happy, are the peacemakers. Peacemakers, we make peace. That smile I see, that's making peace right there. I mean, good grief. That's making peace. For they shall be called the sons of God. Maybe saying, I don't have any peace to give. You'll be surprised what you can give. You'll be surprised what you can muster up from your heart. Try it. Try smiling first. Isn't that something? You say, well, I don't have peace. There's nothing I have peaceful in my life. It's chaos. It's upside down. It's questions. Start with step one first. You'll receive peace. Notice receiving peace is the very last thing. There's things that we've got to do. Well, why don't God just give me his peace? He's trying. He's trying to force it on you. But we've got to remove the walls. We've got to let him flow our hearts with peace. But what about this? What about that? What about the situation? Remove the walls. Secondly, get close to Jesus. Stop holding Jesus off at a distance. Get close to him. When you're hurting the most, the arms you need to be in are Jesus. Become the righteousness of God. I've already talked about that. Take on his image. Let him have that junk so he can give you the good stuff. You can't hold on to this and take that too. We've got to let some things go. Reconcile the offenses. Let the hurts go. Let it go. It's not going to do you any good. As a matter of fact, offenses can cause you to be sick physically. Reconcile the offenses. You don't owe me anything. I mean, every day we pray for our enemies. God, whoever they are, you know who they are. I'm not going to call any names. We don't list them. I mean, all that does is remind you. All right, this enemy right here, oh God, I pray you bless him. We don't list names. Say, God, you know who they are. We bless them as you said to bless them. Thank you that you pour your love and understanding into their hearts and make their hearts soften toward you and hear your voice today. We do it every day. That's what the Bible says to do. And then we create peace and receive peace. A light just went off. Two. God promises and desires for us to live in peace. God promises and desires for us to live in peace. Let go of the pain. Even if you're in pain today, let go of that pain. Let God's peace flow into your hearts today. Sometimes our pain can't be described because it's a soul hurt. It's a deep hurt. We can't even describe it. But as we learn to take, I believe, these five steps, I believe that God will bring his peace into our life. And those things that we don't understand, maybe it's not meant for you to understand. There's some things that we'll never understand. That's okay. Let it go anyway. Trouble and hurt and heartache, Jesus wants to give his peace today. Come on up. Let's all stand together this morning.